chapter 33, and I'll begin reading with verse 7. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. God's word for our instruction this morning. You may be seated. You know, the Bible has so much to say about many, many different topics. And the Bible has a lot to say about friends, friendliness, and friendship. And I think we all know that friendship is indicative of a trusting relationship with another person. It's a special bond when two individuals meet together, just as the Bible says that God met Moses face to face. Friends meet together face to face. Friends understand each other. Friends respect each other. Friends are loyal to each other. Did you know that there's a current tendency in our country toward what is called interpersonal isolation? Experts in the fields of sociology say now that 25% of the American people have no real friends anymore. We cannot deny that we are all social beings, and most of us would find it very, very difficult to imagine what life would be like if we had to live life without friends. Betsy Hart, in a Scripps Howard News Service column, wrote the following, quote, "Social isolation can lead to a range of negative outcomes, including heart disease, depression, and a variety of self-destructive behaviors. Authors speculate on several reasons for the change, including more women working outside the home, more geographical distance between family members, and maybe people are more connected to computers than to each other," unquote. Julie Aukerman Link, a Christian author, wrote that when she signed up to join a popular internet social network, she was shocked to be greeted by the words, "You have no friends." And although she knew this statement was untrue because she had friends outside the social network, she still felt sad for a moment. The idea that anyone, even an impersonal website, could call her friendless was very upsetting to her. You see, friends are essential for our emotional, for our physical, and for our spiritual well-being. Real friends are willing to spend time with you. Real friends want to do things together. Real friends will make time to help each other, but not to the exclusion of other people. Real friends are loyal and accepting. Real friends don't talk negatively about each other behind another person's back. And you know what a real friend is willing to do? They are willing to overlook those minor ways that we irritate each other. Real friends are kind and thoughtful. Real friends think about the other person, and they're always looking for ways to help the other person. Real friends are encouragers. They look for ways to cheer up another person. They try to do things that affirm the personhood of each person that they meet. Some of you know I was at Chambersburg Hospital on Friday afternoon. I had to go to one of these required classes because I'm a volunteer chaplain there one or two nights a month. And I was sort of amazed after we finished the volunteer class and did role-playing about how you're supposed to treat people. Summit Health gave each one of us this little card, this little magnet. And I think this really sums up what friendship is. This was written by Jay Dancy. Your smile is your logo. Let's try it. All right, let's try that. Your smile is your logo. Okay? Your personality is your business card. How you leave others feeling after having an experience with you becomes your trademark. I think this is very indicative of what friendship is all about. Real friends can also keep secrets. Real friends know how to keep private details about another person's personal affairs to themselves. Real friends are willing to listen to our heartaches without blaming us for having a problem. Friends defend us when we're criticized or when we're put down. Friends are happy when we succeed, and they are sad when we fail. Friends give us wise counsel to keep us from making foolish choices in life. Friends may even risk, did you hear what I'm saying? Real friends are risk takers. They may even risk making us angry for the sake of directing us to choose the right course. Proverbs 12:26 shows us that we need to choose our friends carefully. It says, a righteous man is cautious in friendship. In our text today, Exodus chapter 33, beginning with verse 7, this describes a special meeting place that should never be confused with the Israeli tabernacle. Remember, the Ark of the Covenant was in the tabernacle, but God's Ark of the Covenant was not in this special tent of meeting place that Moses went to. This so-called tent of the meeting was pitched outside the Israeli camp and symbolized the removal of God's presence from the Israelites because of their sins and their iniquity. Moses would visit this temporary structure, this tent, whenever he desired a special meeting with the Lord. And did you notice the verbs in Exodus 33:7? They show that Moses customarily took the effort to erect this tent himself. But whenever Moses would go into this tent to seek the Lord, he had the attention and he had the physical respect of the entire nation of Israel as they would all stand up to see what was going to happen as he entered that special tent to meet God. God's special presence there was manifested by a spectacular cloud. And this cloud was an indication that the Lord was communicating with Moses. And did you catch the phrase we read together? As a man speaks with his friend. And to Moses, the mind of God was as plain as a person being able to speak to his friend. And the pillar cloud was so awesome that these Israelites would stand to worship each one at his or her own tent. And they showed their reverence as they rose up and they stood at the entrances of those tents and bowed down, I'm sure, and worshiped God. They were witnessing a visual phenomena that encouraged each of them to have hope. The downcast hearts of individuals were revived. Joy replaced despondency as that pillar cloud slowly and majestically would descend and remain above the tent of the meeting that signified God's special presence. The Israelites knew a lot about Moses. Moses, sometimes he could even be a little rash, right? He could even show a little bit of anger. And they knew, though, that Moses, in spite of his personal flaws, was their advocate. Moses was interceding to the Lord on their behalf. Moses had this privilege of standing between God and humankind many times as their friend. And the position, of course, that Moses had was indeed a favored one that was enjoyed by very few individuals when you read the Old Testament. But how do we make friends today? when so many people are trying to put fences around their homes, or sometimes people get challenged by other people and they just look at them and say, you better stay out of my bubble. You know what we can do? We can begin by smiling. We can begin by establishing more eye contact when we greet people we meet, instead of just looking at the ground and having a real sour face. When we meet people, we can begin to ask more open-ended questions. We can encourage people to tell something about themselves. And then when it's our turn to talk again, we can start our questions with words like, who, what, when, or how. Could I caution each one of you? You'll have more friends and better friendships if you don't use that three-letter word so much called why, W-H-Y. Because often that is perceived to be a judgmental word. When we ask questions about who, what, when, and how, these kind of questions invite the other person to carry on a conversation with you. We can build on what other people have to say. And when another person responds to a question that we ask them, we can even present another follow-up question based on the answer they gave us to the initial question. I think we can all learn to become better listeners. We need to listen more carefully to what other people are saying. We need to listen very carefully to another person's response and not just brush it off. We don't need to let their words go into one ear and out the other. We need to have more concentration on communication with our friends. We need to guard against the tendency that we might have to stare at the floor or watch other people while we're talking to someone, or maybe glance at our watch or pull out that smartphone and start doing this. Make verbal comments related to what the person is talking about, although sometimes you might have to change the subject. I must confess that most of us know there's a primary election coming up on Tuesday for Maryland and for Pennsylvania and Delaware and Connecticut and Rhode Island. And I know as a pastor sometimes I sort of got to change the subject because people say, what do you think about this candidate, or what do you think about this issue? You know, as a pastor, I have to be like nonpartisan. I can't be in favor of a certain individual or a certain party. So I may need to change the subject when that would come around. I think it's important for us to have friends to express a keen interest in the other person. And you know, there's so many conversations that can begin in a positive way when one person expresses a sincere compliment to another person. Did you ever try to look at a person and see, what can I compliment them about? Can you use one of those observations of a complimentary trait to begin a conversation? You know, friendship isn't just for those of us who are older. Friendship is also for these little ones who were sitting up here. Even young children can be taught how to demonstrate friendliness. There was a 6-year-old girl that was experiencing her first day of first grade. And she was nearly overwhelmed by anxiety as she entered the school building for the first time. And she began to cry. Her daddy took her to school that day, and she was like really being a clinger. She wouldn't let go of his hand. But soon another young first grader, in a kind and friendly way, came over to her and said, "Will you sit with me?" And the father said that his daughter's tension soon subsided, and this act of friendliness ended what could have been a very difficult first day of first grade. There are so many biblical guidelines about how we can maintain friendships. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times. Proverbs 22:24-25 says, do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. Wow. Choose your friends wisely, right? Proverbs 27, the second part of verse 9 says, do not forsake your friend and the friend of your father. I really like Ecclesiastes 4:10, because if this hasn't happened to you before, it will happen to you in the future. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Sometimes we find it easier to talk about our friends instead of talk with our friends. Remember in the Old Testament, Job was really hurt and disappointed by comments his friends had made to him during a time of deep personal loss and illness. But Job did not hold a lasting grudge against his friends. Instead, we find in Job chapter 42, verse 10, and this is so important, after Job prayed for his friends, he had to pray for those friends that were nasty and mean to him and said untrue things about him, right? After Job prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. How faithful are each one of us on a daily basis in our prayers for the emotional, mental, physical, social, and spiritual well-being of our friends? Did Jesus Christ talk about friends? Oh, yes. He said in John 15:14, you are my friends if you do what I command. And the Apostle Paul, in two different passages, had some very intriguing things to write about friendship. In 2 Corinthians 7:1 and in Philippians 4:1. Here's what the Apostle Paul was inspired to write. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from anything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. And Paul also wrote, therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Did you know, according to Proverbs chapter 18:24, there is this phrase, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I firmly believe that Jesus Christ is that friend. And I believe that Jesus Christ wants to be a friend to every person that is here today. And he wants to be a friend to our friends who are not even here with us. And I also believe that Jesus Christ wants to be our advocate, just as Moses was the advocate for the Israeli people in that tent of meeting. It was October 2nd, 1954. First Lieutenant James O. Conway was taking off from the Boston Logan Airport, flying an aircraft that was filled with a load of explosives. But shortly after his plane became airborne, he suddenly lost engine power. Conway instantly faced a rather brutal choice. He could eject from the plane, save his own life, or he could crash the plane into Boston Harbor, resulting in his own death. In the few seconds that he had to make that decision, he knew that if he bailed out, the plane would crash into an East Boston neighborhood that was filled with women and children. And amazingly, First Lieutenant Conway chose to crash the plane into the bay, thus giving his life in exchange for the lives of many other people that he had never met face to face. Jesus said in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. How do you become a friend to Jesus Christ? Well, you have to admit that Jesus was perfect. And you have to admit that you have sinned. You have to admit that you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in your place and that he is alive today. You have to commit yourself to Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and allow his word to manage your life from this moment on. Every person can make this decision. Do they want Jesus Christ to be their forever friend? Or perhaps today, some of you know that I want Jesus Christ to be my friend, but I've sort of been pushing the Lord off from different areas of my life. Perhaps the Holy Spirit might lead you to rededicate your life to Christ today. If you'd like to receive Christ or rededicate your life to Christ, as we stand and sing hymn number 634, More Love to Thee, I encourage you to come forward for prayer. Standing together, number 634, More Love to Thee.